the kids are, the younger kids are going out for children's church. You know, we as adults, we have revival services, and we have a guest, normally have a guest speaker come in, a guest evangelist, guest pastor, and sometimes guest music, and we hold it from Sunday morning through Wednesday night, and it's always a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
It's what we cut our teeth and grew up on. Amen, right? Well, the generation of today, the new generation, they do D Now. They pack a whole revival into about 2.5 days, and they do ministry projects and all kinds of stuff, and stay with each other 24/7. And I asked this morning, the question I asked this morning, well, how was the hygiene? You know, did everybody deodorant up and brush their teeth and, you know, take a shower? And one comment was, well, we may have to fumigate one of those rooms. So anyway, so it's been live up over there, over at the school and over at the gymnasium. But the youth are going to have the rest of the service. Brother Marco's going to have some kids come up and give testimony, and then he's going to tie it all together. And then we're going to have an opportunity to pray for our youth at the very, very end of the service. So let's give our youth a warm welcome today. Amen. Brother Marco, come on.
Good morning. God bless you this morning. Good morning. I want to first off by confessing something and apologizing. I convinced all of the chaperones and my youth leaders to fast this weekend. And the Bible says that when we fast, we shouldn't look like we're fasting. Our face shouldn't be glum, and we shouldn't walk over like we are fasting. They fasted from sleep. I think one night we went to bed at 5:30 in the morning and woke up at 7. The next night we went to bed, I think me and Mike went to bed last night at 3 and woke up at about 7 or so. We were both laying there, 10 more minutes. And then finally, he was the first one to get up. I'm like, all right, you've done it. Now I have to get up. So please pray for us as all of us are disciples in progress. From the youth down on up to the adults that were there. I also want to start off by saying thank you to the church, to each and every one of you. It's because of your sacrificial giving and love and that we were able to do events like this. And you guys showed up in full force. So before I start with them, I want to start with you and say God bless you. And thank you for showing up. And the pancakes were good. I keep hearing the pancakes were good. Even like a day and a half later, man, those pancakes were good. And they're still eating on them. So except for days if you just leave it out. They're like cattle. They just kind of grow. First I'm going to start it out with, if you showed up and you helped cook, you helped clean, you helped wipe noses, I don't know, if you did anything in that regard, if you showed up for that dinner and that breakfast, you were there just boots on the ground and eyes on kids. Would you please stand up for me? We had a lot of our church members showed up for that, and they just cooked and served. Yeah. So thank you. And, you know, we do have schedules and itineraries, but when you're dealing with that many kids, I have a hard time getting 3 kids out the door on time, much less 70 kids. To get all at one spot, and we come from 2 different churches. It is our church and Silver Springs Baptist Church. Some of you may not know the connection that we have with that church, and may be wondering why. And I had this question come up, so I just want to address it. Why that particular church? Interesting enough, the pastor of that church is Pastor Scott Ziblock. Me and him went to school together from about the 4th grade, so I've known him for a long time, and then our paths crossed. Interesting enough, years ago, he was in the sign business. I was in the sign business. He was a school teacher. I work at a school, in the classroom, and then he's a pastor, and I'm a youth pastor. It's kind of interesting that how our lives, we went different directions, but we kind of followed the same path that God directed us on, and kind of fascinating. So that's how we kind of teamed up with Silver Springs, and plus the proximity of their church works out well. They have a sweet church as well. They have a lot of members that showed up. served a lunch, and they served a dinner, so we kind of split that responsibility between the churches. And through the whole weekend, we just tried to really focus on that we're not two churches at two locations, but we are God's church. Amen. And we're God's people, and we're here to serve the Lord. And whether it's our kids or their kids, and we even pulled some other kids who don't go to church, don't go to this church, and they did the same thing. They have some kids who don't know the Lord, don't have a walk with the Lord. This may be in the first full weekend that they had to get saturated with the Word of God. So it's a blessing that for and to join up with another church, with another body of believers. And that way it gives our youth a chance to see that there are other kids out there doing what you're doing, praising God, and living out loud and loving out loud, as our t-shirts claim here today. And so before we get started, I wanted to get our chaperones and our youth leaders, if you'll come up first. I'd like you guys to come up first and maybe give your testimony of the weekend and your witness on that. We have one more just kind of sitting right there. There she goes. Look at her. All right, we'll start off here with Miss Marjorie.
I would just like to say what a blessing it was. It was a beautiful weekend spending time with you guys. It was just wonderful. And I would like to say that what meant the most to me was getting with the other church and just seeing two churches come together in unity, and everybody's holding hands as they're singing and they're praising God. And I would just like to say Jesus showed up. He was there. And I know that he was glorified. And it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And I just would like to say I just love the weekend, and I have received a blessing. So thank you guys for that, and I just love being a part of D Now.
Amen. Yeah, I'd like to thank New Hope for letting us be a part of this and providing funding for this weekend. And we had a great time spending time with Silver Springs. They were loved us with open arms and very welcoming, and everybody got along good together. And we got to go out and to these gas stations, pass out bread, get to talk to people about the Lord. And we went and did the compassion experience. It was a great thing to be a part of. It let us walk through these buildings and see the life of how people in Uganda, people in Guatemala actually live, and see how thankful and blessed we are to have the things that we do have, because things could always be worse. And anyhow, it was a blessed weekend. I'm glad to be a part of it. And I got to wash hands and talk to the youth about God, pray with them, children I never met before, asked me to pray with them, and I was very honored and privileged. And it was all to glorify the Lord. Thank you.
I would like to thank the people that helped cook, cleaned, and everything. And it was such a blessing, New Hope and Silver Springs colliding and becoming united. And it was great to spend the weekend with these kids, and it was amazing. It was a great blessing.
I'd like to thank everyone, first off, for supporting the youth, because y'all always do, and such a blessing to us. And I know to thank Marco, because I know how much work goes behind it. Yes. And he is a blessing to this church and to the youth and to our family. So I thank you, Marco, even though you put me in a lot of situations. But this weekend was a blessing, and to all the chaperones who took their whole weekend, especially to Marjorie for being the female chaperone who spent the night, and I could take Lillian home, so that was wonderful. And to the kids, it was so great always spending time with you. And to me, the best part is to show the kids what it's like to have a servant's heart. And that's what I try and to instill in our kids, and what we want to offer the youth. It's always a blessing to serve others. And doing the compassion experience was a great opportunity to show that as well. And to all our youth leaders, we're just so grateful for y'all and for Mikey. I know how much work goes into it as well, so I'm very grateful to everyone.
Well, this was my first full weekend at DNOW. The past 2 years, I always had work in between, and I would just pop in and out. So it was definitely a blessing to be able to spend the entire weekend with the youth, and it was really a big blessing to be able to spend a lot of time specifically with, like, with Aubrey and with Miss Marjorie and with Tiffany and with Miss Jay and with everybody. It was just, like, a lot more personal than, you know, we get in the 10-minute greeting that we have twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. So it was definitely a really big blessing to be able to spend time with everybody. And we had a big worship service at Silver Springs, and that was probably the most touching moment that I had there. They had different little prayer stations set up, and the only one I did was the one where they cleanse your hands and they wash your hands. And Miss Marjorie knows how emotional I was, and she was the one who washed my hands, and it was just really touching to do that. And I really wanted to point out that in our little youth that we have right here, we have some little gentlemen in progress, I would say. We have some good little boys that would step up if I needed something, and it was it's kind of good to see that they're you know, 12, 11, 13, however old they are, and they're already willing. If I need something, they're like, okay, I'll help you. Like Santi, I made Santi go get stuff out of my car and help me carry everything inside. So it's just I'm just seeing all these young people grow up. Like, I can see it, that they're going to grow up and be leaders. And it's just, it was definitely a blessing to be able to see that. So.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to say than that. I agree with every one of y'all. I think it was a great experience. I second that this was my first full D now, and it was a troubling experience with the lack of sleep. last night, I was trying to go to bed about 1, and I think it was like 2 o'clock or something like that. They all mix in together. People are ripping my covers off. It's Bible study time. Come on, get up. I'm just like, man, I don't even know what day it is. Don't know what century it is. But it was a great experience. I think Silver Springs did a lot of great things with the worship service, the different prayer stations. It's something that I'd like to adopt myself. They had this little prayer station. It was like a sand pit. And you were just writing in the sand your problems, your sins, your trials, tribulations, stuff like that. And you'd pray with somebody, the prayer warriors that was there, and you just wipe it clean. So it was a great experience with that. And like Buddy was saying, with the Compassionate Conference, it was just, you look into their lives when their income is like $500 a year. I mean, how can you survive off that? It's crazy. Those kids work 70-hour work weeks, and you know, we're complaining about 40 hours. So, I mean, it, like Buddy said, it could always be worse. But these kids are great. It's kind of good to see when they got with the other church. We didn't kind of stay in our own group. I know Jose's not here anymore, but he was hanging out with all the other kids, and we kind of just mixed together, got dirty with them yuck games. but it was a good experience.
I'd first like to say, just in agreement with everybody else, thank you to our church, for one. Our church has always been so generous and giving when it comes down to our youth and the stuff we get to do with our youth, especially the last 3 years at DNOW. You know, it comes around, and the first thing we say is, all right, weekend of no sleep. And, you know, but we look forward to that weekend of no sleep. It's a weekend of trying to cram 3 Bible studies in a day and a half with a whole lot of other activities and a whole lot of tired kids. And it's fun. We look forward to it. I would like to brag on our church and Silver Springs Church. For out of both groups, I heard nothing but compliments on our church, on how nice of the people we have here. And from our kids, I heard nothing but how nice and sweet the people at Silver Springs are. So more important, I'd like to brag on God, to say God is the one that put these people here, put our youth here, and give us these leaders. You know, I was blessed to get to lead a Bible study at 3 o'clock in the morning, Friday night, and it was tough. I was watching people sleep. I wanted to sleep. I'm like, let's praise God. And I think, to me, one of the most just blessing experiences, though, was standing there at the praise and worship time last night and seeing 70 kids stand and have hands raised in the air, faces just looking up to God, singing and praising God. And to hear youth just call out to God's name in prayer, it's, I look back and wish I would have been that way when I was 13 years old, too. And So it really is just a blessing. And again, I thank Marco for all the work he's done in the youth. And I'm grateful that Marco's allowed me to be a youth leader with him for the last 5 years, almost 6 years now. And it's been a blessing to me to know him, his family, and our church.
This was my first experience in dealing with the youth, and I really wasn't planning on staying, but when I took Blake up there, Jennifer kind of talked me into staying and hanging out with her, and so I stood for a while Friday evening and then was back up there first thing Saturday morning and spent the whole day with them then, and it was really good to get to know some of them and get to watch them and how they interact with each other and how well they get along, and it was very touching. I really enjoyed being a part of it, even though I didn't stay the night and lose the sleep. But it was definitely inspiring to me to be a part of. And I thank Jennifer for talking me into staying and getting to know a lot more people a lot better. It was nice.
Did y'all notice? Let's give them believe me, youth ministry is no one-man show. It'll drive you in the ground, right? And without our church and our members stepping up and volunteering, it just wouldn't happen. It really wouldn't. It's a tough job, and I'm so glad that these volunteers and you got to love a volunteer. Somebody, you tell me, you won't sleep and you'll be locked in the gym with 30 teenagers who don't sleep and do not get tired. And when you tell them to go to bed at 5, they're looking at you all like she looks at you. But I'm not tired. But I'm not tired. But I am. I am tired. I need so to tell people that ahead of time and they still show up.
That's right.
It's a blessing. And it blesses me more than you know. So I thank the church for the opportunity that you give me to serve the kids. It's always, it's kind of my vision. It's like Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And that's what these guys were there for. But did you notice a little theme that we have with some of our volunteers? We had two who hadn't done a complete D now before. And then we had one who has just kind of stepped into it. And then the other one. So like next year, now that they've done their first full D now, they've been involved in a couple of them. Part-time, and they came when they could because they had jobs. They have jobs, and they did. But now this year is their full D now. So now, if you move on down the line, we have one that was kind of part-time this year.
That's right.
So next year.
She's getting promoted.
That's how we pull you in. We just give you a little taste of it. Go home and sleep. You'll be fine. See, camp. That's 4 days in the woods with a bunch of kids who don't want to sleep. And they're like cattle. Every time you're up, you see one in the kitchen. Like, what can I eat? I'm like, can I eat this? I'm like, don't ask. Just eat. Just take it down. We did have a lot of food left over for the spaghetti and for the breakfast, so they could graze on that. We had parents that donate snacks. God bless you for that. And donate drinks. We'll have enough. So God bless you. And thank you again, New Hope. And I heard that constantly at Silver Springs. What a sweet and wonderful people we had at New Hope. We didn't think you could, but you did better this year than you did last year. We didn't think that was possible. So to hear that is just God bless you. You are loving out loud. You are being the hands and feet of Jesus. So thank you. All right. So if you guys want to grab a seat, I know you probably want to catch a couple of winks while we talk to something. We'll see if we can get some sleep-deprived, tired teenagers, if they would like to say something. So I'm going to start kind of here with Mr. Scott.
I had a fun time. I had a fun time. This is my first year, and it's really fun. And I don't think none of us got a lot of sleep. We stayed up to about 5:30 every night, but... it was a fun time.
Anything about Jesus? Do you think you'll say spiritually?
Right.
to see a lot of people in Silver Springs that loved Out Loud, and how everyone here loved Out Loud, and you could see it.
All right, loved Out Loud. Amen. All right, Blake, can you say anything? Trev, I know Trevor does. Come on.
I don't even know if I should say my name since y'all all know me pretty much. But this is my third year in this. I'm happy the past 2 years. The first year I got hit in the head with a watermelon. I'm happy that did not happen the past 2 years. But I was blessed not only by the worship last night, but after the worship we had a big prayer circle, and how not only did God move in the worship, but he moved through prayer.
I just wanted to thank this church for being such an encouragement to everybody. And my name's Emily, by the way. And this is my first Dino, and I go to the school here. And I wanted to say thank you to Marco, because he's an encouragement to me. And I don't think I would be here if he wasn't.
This will be fun. Hi, I'm Aiden. Yeah. This was really fun. It's my second year here. Oh, thanks, Marco. Yeah. This is my second year here, and it was really fun. I want to thank Marco and everybody who helped out, and yeah. I hope people got saved. Yeah.
What's that sleep deprivation happening?
It was crazy to see how, like, godly this place was. Whenever we went out to Silver Spring, just everybody coming together in a giant, supposed to be circle, and we were all just holding hands and praising God together, and I got closer to a lot of people, such as Scott and Aiden, and it was crazy to see just how godly it was.
Didn't get a lot of sleep, and my favorite part was whenever we went to Silver Springs and the prayer circle. That was really touching, and you could just feel all the love, and yeah.
Okay. Good morning. I can give you some servanthood.
All right,
okay, so we did the bread ministry Saturday morning, and we went to the Shell station by Miss Dawn's house, and we were very blessed. We pulled up, and Olivia goes up to the first person and is like, would you like some free bread? We were given bread, and we just want to give it away. And he goes, no, thank you, and slams the door and drives off. But the more people that came, they were all like, no, there'll be someone that needs it more than me. I don't want to take the bread. You can pray for me. We prayed with people. And then the second to last person that we gave bread to, she ended up having like 14 people that she was responsible for feeding. Wow. So we loaded up her truck, and we were like, we have so much bread. We loaded it up. And then she was very thankful. And then the very last lady, she comes up to us, and she was in a rehab program that was involved in like church and everything, and she was 2 years clean.
Amen.
So congratulations to her. But she was also working with that ministry, and so we gave her most of our bread too, and we finished all the bread. So most of those people were right, like there was going to be someone that needed it more than them. So that's my piece. Thank you for thank you, church, for cooking for us and cleaning for us and praying for us. We appreciate it.
Amen.
This was a great weekend. I'd been going through a lot of stuff at home and at school and just in myself, and I fell away for a long time. And this weekend just it brought me back. It was incredible last night especially at Silver Springs, and I talked to a few people. I cried a lot, and it's good to feel back again. And I just wanted to thank everyone that was involved in this. The impact that this weekend has on people is incredible. Like, I saw it firsthand last night. And just always, things like this are things that should always be done, because you never know what kind of people they're going to impact, and people that don't go to this church very often go to these kind of things. And I just wanted to thank all of you that helped out with this and prayed for us and kept us in your minds and hearts. Thank you.
So I really look forward to DNOW every year, just because it's a great opportunity to meet new people, because every year there's somebody new, and so it's just a wonderful experience just to meet new people and just know their story. And so, as you know, our theme was Love Out Loud, and it was just wonderful because I just got to talk with new people and then just know their story and just pray with them, just love on them. And I just want to thank the church for all your support and then just helping out with everything. And it was just a blessing to just be there with other people my age and just get to worship God. So I really enjoyed it.
Amen, girl.
Hi. This is my first time at DNOW. And my favorite part was when we were giving away bread. And we got here a little later than Olivia's car did, so we didn't get to see the first guy slam the door. But but the first person that I went up to, we were talking to him, and he was so nice. And when we asked him for prayer requests, he said his wife was in the hospital with some types of cancer. And I learned that we don't really realize it, but our lives are just as complex as everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and how God just helps everybody as much as he helps us.
Amen. Amen. I would like for y'all to continue to pray for those that they mentioned. The first lady, her name is Laura, and when we spoke with Laura there at the gas pump, she was pumping gas, and as she was pumping gas, Miss Marjorie took over that. She pumped her gas while she turned and talked to me and Aubrey. And laid her heart about what God has done for her. And the whole time she talked about the 2 years of sobriety, she was praising God through that. She never did she say, I did this, I beat this. I overcame this through the power of God. And I thought it was a blessing this way. Ms. Marjorie was like, here you go, let me pump your gas. Talk to him. So she could really focus and we could pray for her. So her name is Laura. Now she has a son named Jason. That she is ministering to. He's an adult son, and some of you probably have some adult sons that aren't quite walking the path that you would like from the two. So continue to pray for Laura. The other man, his name is Aubrey, and he was an older fellow coming out, and the group went over there to talk with him and pray with him, and they're like, hey, you need to come over and talk to this man. He's got some serious things going on. His wife, Martha, is fighting cancer at Tomball Hospital. She also had like kidney failure, lung failure. Once we started talking to him, he was just broken over about this. And it's hard not to be. He doesn't have a church like this. He doesn't have family to kind of come around him like this. So I got his number, and we're going to go visit him at Tomball Hospital. And just see, you know, how can we love on him? What can we do for him? Just a nice old man. And he's going through a hard time. So pray for him, Aubrey and Martha. Other than that, we met a lot of great people. We covered 4 gas stations. We had 2, Silver Springs had 2, and they were giving out bread. Mike had his gas station with his group. And from talking with the other ones, we had some very positive experience, and like Aubrey was saying, some just were no. And you see people with the gospel the same way. some people are so receptive to Christ in their life, and then some people, for whatever reason, are just saying no. And so for us, weekends like this is a chance that we get to work with the youth and just kind of rein them in and saturate them. I told them that from the very beginning. I have a mission. My mission, sleep deprivation, my mission is to saturate you with as much Bible as I can to transform your mind. So when you come in, you are Saul, but when you leave, we'll call you Paul. Right? And we do have just normal prayer times, and we do have the late night Bible studies, which we take you from a regular Christian early morning. I guess you could say early morning. We take you from regular Christians to fanatical Christians. And some of them were sleeping, and that's okay because it's 3 a.m. I told them I'm just glad that you got up and came here late in the gym and you were listening to me in your sleep. Not all of them were asleep; it's kind of in and out, you know. So for the message part of today, is I had two of our leaders who brought messages, and these are two of our New Hope guys, right? Went to school here, pretty much grown up here, and they're a vital part of the youth ministry. One is Mikey, or as I just call him Mike, because I stand up Mike. I have a hard time calling him Mikey. He's just bigger than I am. Yeah, and the other one is Austin Grubbs. So I asked these two guys, they led a couple Bible studies, so I asked them to share with you just kind of a glimpse of what they shared with the kids. Because if we shared the whole thing, we'd have to stay here till 3 a.m. And I don't think you guys are going to put up with that, right? They will, but I don't think you're going to, right? So I'm going to ask Austin if you'll come up and share a little bit about your Bible study and to them.
Morning. All right. I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to try and make it brief and to the point. Marco's our youth leader over here, so I don't want to be up here too long. But I'd just like to touch on the message that I got blessed with to bring. I don't know if I was lucky or not, but I was the only one who brought a message that was in the daylight. So, like, during Mikey's message, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's passed out. You know, he was kind of discouraged because he wanted to sleep, and he's looking at everybody just laid out on the floor. And Marco was a little later than 2, so everybody was definitely asleep on that one. So, but it was a blessing. So I was given the packet, the Walk in Love packet, and it was like a 3-point message. And we touched on depending on Jesus, calling upon Jesus, and obeying Jesus. And I have three scriptures for each one of them. So Hebrews 11:6, you can turn there if you want. You don't have to, but I'll go ahead and read it. So when we were talking about depending on Jesus, we were talking about basically like God's own heart. What's the focal point of God's heart? And that's you today. You are the center of God's heart. In Hebrews 11:6, it talks about, it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." But God wants you to depend on him today. That's his prayer, that you would not only depend on him today, but you would make that decision to depend on him for your life. And the second point was calling upon Jesus. That's in Jeremiah 31:3. And that says, Jeremiah 31:3, it says, "Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. And with an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." So we can know that God is faithful and that he has an everlasting love for us. Yes. And that he has an unfailing love to draw us closer to him, because we didn't love him first, he loved us first. So that's a blessing. And we know that we have problems in our lives, we experience trials, we experience tribulations, but when we see God as the Almighty, we looked at 1 John when it talks about Jesus was with God, Jesus was God, he was the Word. And, you know, some different denominations will kind of twist that up a little bit and change it, but we know that Jesus is the Christ, he is with God. The third one was obeying Jesus, which I don't want to say it's the most important because they're all important, but that's in 1 John 2:5. And
I have that right here. 1 John 2:5 says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that we are living in him. So the whole basis of this message was to walk out this perfected love that God has given us. So we have to strive to live our lives to not only walk this out, but obey his commandments, because that truly shows that we trust in him. So that's what I have for you today. I was going to share kind of a funny story we had over at Silver Springs, but we're running short on time, so talk to me after the message for that one. But I'll pass it on to Mikey.
I'll tell you, last Sunday after church, Marco came to me and said, so next Sunday we have the lesson. We have the message. We have it. And I'm like, awesome. And I'm like, now what am I going to say? I get nervous. I get anxiety. Like, instantly as soon as he says that, my anxiety kicked in. I'm like, I have to talk in front of people again. But it doesn't take long for God to grab a hold of me and say, no, you show up, you be obedient, and let me do the talking.
Amen.
I like to start off with Psalms chapter 22, verse 22. And really, I think this is verse is the reason why we're here today. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I'm here just to praise God. I'm here to praise God that he gives us the opportunity to work with our youth, to work with another church's youth, and to work with the other church just to serve him. I was blessed with our first Bible study to kind of open up the Love Out Loud. That Bible study's lesson was, the topic was the walk in light. The main verse was 1 John 1:5. And that verse is, this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When you think about it, that's kind of scary and relieving all at the same time. For those of us who aren't saved, it's kind of scary because we know we're darkness. We're all sinners. We're born sinners. And therefore, we are darkness. And God has no darkness. So if we are not saved, God does not have us. Our back is turned to him, and he can't look upon us. But at the same time, it's relieving to know that those of us who are saved have that light of God in us. We walked into a dark room, and I had a flashlight, and I took out made a little pathway of chairs and let a few of the kids walk across the chairs with light on. And I turned the light off, and it's pitch black. And I was like, now walk that path. It makes it a little bit harder when there's no light. And then Austin had this flashlight, turn it on, and just that little bit of light, it lit up the whole room. You may be the only person in your family who has that little bit of God's light in you. You may be that light for your family in a world of darkness, but God calls us to be that light. He gives it to us because he is the light. And so, you know, as Austin said, my Bible study got to be from about 2:30 to about 3, and it was awesome. I was blessed just to be used by God. I didn't care what time it was. I didn't care if it was anybody listening. It was a Bible study, and I was happy to be at the Bible study. And, you know, God is good. God loves us. God gives us all these opportunities just to go forth and to praise his name. And I think we take it for granted too often. I know I take it for granted way too often. I don't praise his name in the situations that he blesses me with. And to walk open and to start off with this Love Out Loud, that was the beginning of it, we had to walk in his light to begin to be able to love out loud. Because it's not a matter of saying and telling people that you love them. You can tell anybody that you love them. It's not a lip service that God's looking for. It's more of that action that show that you're putting his word before you and actually using that word to light your path and to truly just bring his love to other people. Our church shows that every year when we do D-Now and when we do camp and everything we do here at our church. Our church shows that love that God's telling us that we're supposed to love out loud with. And this was our opportunity just for, really, if you think about it, a few short hours. We tell the youth all the time we get 52 hours a year with them. And, I mean, that's not much. So we get weekends like this, and we get to cram almost a whole year's worth of meetings at one time. And it's like, yes, let us talk about God. Let us tell you that God wants you to follow him. He wants you to forget about the troubles you have and the darkness in your life and let him be that light to guide you the way. You know, you put yourself in a room full of nothing but blackness, and you put one little light, more than likely you're going to walk towards that light because that's where you can see. And in our world of darkness, God is that light, and he's calling us to walk towards him so we can truly show the love that he gives to us. And with that, I'll give it back to Brother Marco.
Those are two good guys right there, Austin and Mike. Two good young men who are walking in the Lord. I tell them all the time, you could replace me tomorrow. Right, and they look at me like, not tomorrow. I don't know. As the Lord leads. I told them, when I served in my first church, which is Carroll Street, that's the first church that I served as youth pastor at. I never thought about leaving that church. I couldn't. How could I? The kids meant too much to me. We had an apartment complex across the street, Habitat Homes to our right, cul-de-sac houses to down the road. So I'd go walking, knocking on apartment doors. Hey, we're having a youth Bible study. Come over. I'd go to the Habitat Homes. Hey, we're having a youth Bible study. There's cookies and juice. I've always believed feed them and they'll come. Cookies, juice, and what else are you doing? All right, they'll show up. So it's been a blessing. But I tell them, I said, I never planned on leaving that church. God called me to that church as my first one. He opened the doors. And I told him, you would have to open the doors for me to do this because I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I'm too shy. I didn't think I could do it. And then he did. He opened that door and he said, trust me. This is what I'm calling you to do. And just trust me. So we've been doing it ever since. So when my wife says I make her do things, the Lord makes her. Not me. Or he calls her. That's right. The Lord calls her. I just kind of drop ideas on her at the last minute, tell her, hey, guess what we're doing now? But I tell her all the time, at least it's not boring. Right? At least it's not boring. It's something different. And she loves it. She does because now she works out of school herself with a bunch of special needs kids. And if you asked her to leave it, it'd be the same way. It's a calling to work with youth and with kids. So it's not boring. So I tell them that because I tell them one day, I said, one day God may call you to somewhere else, to go out and preach his message somewhere else. He's told us to live with action, not with just words. And not that they're serving with just words here, but sometimes he'll call you outside of your comfort zone. I'd been going to that church for years, and then when he called me out of that church to somewhere else, it was a little scary because I knew those kids, I knew those families, and I loved them, and still do. I run across someone every once in a while. They're like, you are my old youth pastor, and what's funny is some of them are bigger than me, and they have beards, and they have little kids. And I'm like, okay, now it's your job and your responsibility to give them that youth pastor and plug them into church and walk by example and let them know who Christ is. So when we were at Silver Springs, it was the same thing. A couple of younger kids who had been here before and have moved off and gone to another church. And one girl goes, I bet you don't remember me. You were my youth pastor. I'm like, I remember you. I remember exactly. Yes, I was. It was about 5 years ago. You first started coming to New Hope when I first started serving. I said, now you and your father moved here. Oh, you do? You remember my dad? I said, yes, he's right there. I remember your dad, yeah. Another young man, he had so much to say about this church, about the people of this church, and how they loved on him even when he wasn't lovable. That's walking in action right there. And I remember him when he was little, and honestly, he was what I call a character builder. Right? He really tested if you wanted to be in youth ministry. Is one of these guys like this, and he's like, the church and you loved me unconditionally even when I did things and said things where I didn't deserve it. And I tell him, that's how Christ loves us. We don't deserve it. We say things and do things, and he still went to the cross for us. And so I follow Christ's example in youth ministry. Point them to the one who came to seek and to save the lost, and it's Jesus. I didn't come to serve, but to serve. That was Jesus. Right? So my part of the message is pretty short because we're 11:57 here. Our theme verse for it was Yeah, it comes out of 1 John 3:18. It says, "Dear children, we must not love with words or with speech, but with truth and with action." And that's kind of the main solid verse theme of the whole thing. And within that, we had walk in the light, we had walk in love, we had walk in truth and in action, and we had walk in fellowship. And those are kind of the main topics that we touched on when we talked to the kids. So those are the kind of things that we're trying to transform their minds with, is the Word of God. Through that, through the weekend, we focused on how to love God and how to love others in a way that God declares that love is for us. So pointing them as the one who loves us all, as Christ and his son, Jesus. We try to do that to the best of our ability, but it's not us. In every meeting, in every prayer that we have, it's remove us from the message and let them only see Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, the words of Christ. Because these kids, they love Austin and they love Mikey. I hear it all the time. I love Austin, you just don't know what he means to me. I'm like, I know what he means to you. You know, I love Mikey. Is Mikey going to be here? Is he in town? You don't know what he means to me. It's like, I know what he means to you. Why do you think I have them helping me? Because they just make me look better, right? Yeah, so, yeah. And it's a calling that God has put on their lives, not me. But it's what God has called them to do. And we just help each other do that as a team for the youth ministry here at New Hope. And we have wives and those who are beside us that we couldn't do without it. I couldn't do it without my wife. Right? It's a very tough thing. She takes care of home while I get to do other things. And I say get to because I get to serve the Lord. Yeah, it's a privilege. On that, let's see. From my notes, it was kind of like this, is that after one moves from darkness and light and begins to understand the love of God for them, they get overwhelmed to share it. I remember when I first got saved, when I first actually got saved, because for a while I was a walking false convert, I believe. I was in the church, but kind of out of the church. But when I first really got saved, when I got back, I was so excited to share Jesus with anybody who would listen. You know, I can imagine it. It's kind of like the kids at the gas station when they're running up trying to give away free bread. And the people are like, well, wait a minute. What is the deal with you? You know, are you sure it's just free bread? Yeah. And Christ offers us the same thing. He offers us a free gift. And sometimes at first we are very like, nah, I don't want that. And then sometimes some of us have already walked through the mud long enough or we've been the prodigal son and we want to come back to him. It's like, just give me what you got, because whatever you got is what I want. And what you got, I want, and I want to give to my family and to my kids and those around me, because you have something, and it's the light. It's God's light. And you get so excited to pass that on. No one can really, I think, understand it until they've accepted Christ. Yeah. It's hard to understand what salvation is until you've accepted him in as your Lord and your Savior. Then it's like, now I'm ready to love out loud. Now I'm ready to go to the gas station and just talk to a bunch of strangers, whether I have bread or no bread, and I want to tell them about Jesus. Oh, will you pump gas for me so I can tell this person about Jesus? Yeah, amen. Something's weird about you. Yeah. You've been called out. And so that's the kind of things that we try to instill in the kids. One of the scriptures that we covered was 1 John 3:16 through 18, and I'd like to read that for you. And it says this, let me find it. If you have my Bible, it's on page 1015, which is 1015. So the kids like it's on 10 and 15. So 1 John 3:16 through 18. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." And that was kind of what our service projects were about, was get them out there, not just keeping in a room, learning about the Bible, getting them out there and actually walking what we call the Bible, and actually walking what we have a relationship with Christ. Because Christ didn't sit around waiting for people to come to him. Yeah. He got out and he walked. And he walked some more. And he was tired and he prayed and he walked some more and then he walked some more. So that's what we're working on, is walking more. And according to John, it says that Christianity can be summed up in a single phrase, and that is brotherly love. It's to love those. Christ was the greatest example of loving out loud. It was not just words, but with action through his selfless service to the children that he loved. And then I want to read Ephesians 2, 5, and 8, which just says this. It says, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to use for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of man. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even on a cross. All right, that's in Ephesians 2, 5, and 8, and that is that's our Lord and that's our Savior. And the theme of the weekend was just that. Let us love not in word or in speech, but in truth and his action as the example of Christ. So I have a question for you. What do you think it means to love in speech and action? And I don't expect you to raise your hand, or I'm not going to keep you here till 2 in the morning, but ask yourself that, and even if you leave here today. What do you think it means to love in speech and action? Are you loving more in speech and less in action? What do you think it means? And I challenge you, if it's just been speech, be the hands and feet of Christ. Put it into action. If you just look around you, there is such a need of people within your circle, within your sphere, whether in this church or somewhere else. There are people out there who are in need of Jesus Christ, and they need you to take it to them. And they need you to walk and take the message outside of this building to them. And then the next thing is that as believers, we often emphasize Christ's death and resurrection and ascension. And while it's right to do that, we sometimes forget about the life of Christ as John portrays, where he was the incarnate Messiah to be our example. We should follow the example of Christ, not the example of people on TV and not the self-help books. We have the only book that we need in self-help, and it's the very Word of God, and it's right here. So we should follow the Word of Christ, the example of Christ. And for some out there, it will be to death. We have missionaries all over the world who still get persecuted, who still leave this country and go to other countries where they don't know if they'll have running water. They don't know what tomorrow will bring, because there may be other people out there who don't like them because they serve a risen Lord named Jesus. So if you say, well, I don't know what I can do, you can be a prayer warrior for those missionaries, for those people who are serving on the front lines, those people who are in the trenches trying to point them to Jesus Christ. Pray for them. There's a bunch of them out there. We know some that we love and support here. Make it a daily plan to pray for them. Lift them up. Pray for them. The next scripture that we went through was John 3:23, and I'll read that one to you. It says, now this is his command, that we believe in the name of Son of Jesus, and we love one another. And God actually commands us to love one another. I will be honest. At 2 or 3 in the morning, locked in at gym, sometimes love is tough. I need a lot of coffee to love you sometimes, right? But that's what he commands us to do, to love. And in this love is perfected, that we may have confidence that in the day of judgment, we are with Christ in that day of judgment. It's 1 John 4:17. I just want to touch on that. So in John 15:12, he says again, this is my command, love one another. I have loved you. And I know that my Lord and my Savior, he climbed up on a cross and was crucified because he loved me.
Amen,
man. Amen. Love one another as I have loved you, because I have loved you. Sometimes we may have to sacrifice to show somebody how much we love them. We may have to sacrifice time at work. We may have to sacrifice sleep. We may have to sacrifice money that we had set aside to do something else, but then God has called you to take that and bless somebody with it some way, somehow. It's a sacrifice. And Christ sacrificed much more than time or money or stuff. Yeah. He sacrificed himself on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of this world. So our transformation is more into his likeness comes from observing Christ's life and just keeping our gaze and our eyes and our fix on him and only him, on the example that Jesus Christ gave us all. So we are to live just as he lived. As one scholar writes, it says, God's saving act in Jesus Christ is not only central, it's the only thing that makes a Christian's love possible. It was from that there. So conformity to Christ and his love determines the entire way that Christians live. And I tell the kids all the time when they come to me with something, I was like, you know, it's not my job to fix you. And they're like, well, I'm coming to you for, like, advice. I'm like, I know, and I appreciate that. It's not my job to fix you, because if I fix you, tomorrow you'll be broken. As soon as you turn away from me, you're broke again. It's my job to point you to the one who's not going to fix you, but is going to transform you. Amen. Through his power and through his love. So that's our mission. It's not to fix them, but it's to get them transformed through the example and through the love of Jesus Christ. Now, at a quick glance, during some of our own time, and I kind of brought this up last night at 2 in the morning with my Bible study, is we get so busy thinking about everything else. And I'm sure, if you'll be honest with yourself, think about this. You're thinking about something right now other than this service. You're thinking maybe what you have to do after church, what you got to do Monday at work, what you got to do Wednesday night. All these little things that we start thinking about, even though we're sitting in church, our minds still kind of wonder sometimes, like, well, I really got to do this, this, and this, and this, and then church on Wednesday. So out of the other 23 and a half hours looking at everything else, we should be setting our hearts and our minds on the reality of our King Jesus. And what can we do to further his kingdom? You know, we bend our thoughts and declares from everything that would distract us and fix us upon Jesus. It's like, what happens when we do this? We lose focus of what our true calling is. The Holy Spirit quietly transforms us into Jesus and into Jesus' image. We begin to have a family and a likeness of our brother, which is Christ. This tells us that something that ourselves that we need to understand that we have a formative heart. We are like that clay. And if we give it over to him, he will turn it into something much more than we can on our own. He will turn it into something much more beautiful. And when I look at the youth, I look at that like they are a lump of clay. And we're giving them to Christ. And he is transforming them into what he has called them to be. Not what we press on to them. Not the things that we want them to do, the schools we want them to go to, the future that we want to have for them. Because as our parents, or as their parents, we want the best for them. But believe me, Christ wants so much more. And if we can just guide them and direct them in the path that he has for them, their lives is going to be a lot better than what I could ever imagine for my sons or daughters. If I could just point them to Jesus, he can take over. He can do a lot better job than I can. Because he loves them. And it's kind of hard to say that sometimes, that he loves them more than I do.
That's right.
It's difficult for me to say that as a parent, but it's true. It's true. So they will slowly be molded into the image of things that they focus on. I tell them all the time, if you're focused on that's where you're going. But if you focus on Christ and the Word of God, that's where you'll go.
Amen.
So don't hold back when it comes to living out loud and expressing Jesus to your friends, to your families, to your neighbors, to your relatives. Let them know who that is. And then I'm going to close up with just a couple of scriptures, and it's just 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it says, we all, with unveiled faces, are looking as a mirror and at the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, and this form is the Lord who is the Spirit. And that comes out of 2 Corinthians 3:18. So for the kids, I tell you this, who you are in Christ will determine how you live your life. So God bless you. Thank you for letting us be a part of your D-Now weekend and for letting us be a part of your lives. God bless you, and we love you.
All right, it sounds like it was a fruitful weekend. Amen?
Amen.
And they're going to take it back to their schools and back to their homes and back to where they go and what they do. Right? All of you that participated in D-Now, you have a pass from Sunday night worship. Amen? You have a pass. We expect you to get some rest and get some sleep, and we'll see you back Wednesday. But we're going to end the service this way. I want to go ahead and have our youth come down here in the altar. All the youth workers, if you helped with the D-Now, get around these kids. Just go ahead and start coming. And then the church family, we're going to come around them. So church family, you just kind of fill in around them. Just go ahead and come on, get up. If you need to receive Christ, if you're wanting to make a decision for salvation or baptism, if you feel like the Lord's leading you to join the church, we have another service tonight starting at 6 o'clock. Your salvation, you can speak to me on the way out the door. We can go to my office and pray it out and get you right where you need to be with the Lord. If you need to join the church, you can make that decision as well after the service. If you're visiting with us, come on down. Come on down, visitors, right? Amen. All right. Very good. Amen. We love these kids, don't we?
Amen.
Young men and young women, right? We love them. Gentlemen in the making, ladies in the making. What a blessing it is to have these kids in our midst. I tell you, I'm proud of some of them. I'm proud of some of them. And I'd say their name, but I don't want to hurt them saying their name. Amen. Give them a big head. I'll tell them privately who I'm proud of, right? But I'm proud of a couple of them. It's been a long weekend, and they have stayed the course. They've done it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's lift them up this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all that you've done this weekend. Lord, we are thankful for the lives that these young people represent. We're thankful for the salvation that they possess. Lord, how you have entered into hearts, and Lord, how you have grown them this weekend. Lord, we know it wouldn't be possible if it were not for the devotion and the dedication of Brother Marco and this youth team and these sponsors and these helpers. Lord, thank you for each of them. Lord, as I counted them up, it's 14 plus Brother Marco, 15 adults. That's almost a 2-to-1. That's an incredible ratio, Lord. What a blessing to have a church that wants to serve and help in the youth ministry. Lord, what a testimony of loving out loud these adults are. We thank you for them. Lord, we pray that these kids, this word that has been sown into their heart, we pray for them, Lord, the experiences that they've had in the worship at the other church and at this church, and Lord, just growing closer to one another, we pray that these networks would just be strengthened and would stay the coming weeks and months. And Lord, as they struggle, Lord, with their Christianity and this walk with Christ, Lord, I pray that they would lean back on one another. They wouldn't try to do it all by themselves. They would seek help when they need help. They would be help for somebody that seeks the help. Father God, we pray that a great testimony, in addition to the testimony we've heard today, we pray a great testimony will come out of this. Lives will be saved. Homes will be changed. Lord, you'll get some glory and honor, some more glory and honor than what you've already received. Lord, thank you that we've been allowed to participate and hear and receive this. And Lord, I pray for us that we're not a part of it. This would be an encouragement to us that the church is in good hands. That God's raising up another group to move the old kingdom ball further down the field for you. Amen. Lord, we love you and we praise you for that. Lord, be with us now as we go home. Lord, be with these kids as they transition out of this mountaintop time back to home, back to the rooms and back to reality. Lord, I pray that you'd help them rest today and get rested for school. And Lord, they would be ready to live for you this coming Monday morning, this coming week. Lord, just help them remember, help them be reminded of the lessons of the servanthood, of the love, of the living out loud, all that they've experienced. May they be a beaming light for Christ as they hit the week Monday morning. Lord, we thank you again for your love. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for this church. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you're on the finance team, don't forget we have a finance team meeting immediately following this service over in the Elderberry Sunday School classroom. God bless you.